Every time I describe a city, I am saying something about Venice. To distinguish the other city's qualities, I must speak of a first city that remains implicit. For me, it is Venice. Perhaps I am afraid of losing Venice all at once if I speak of it. Or perhaps, speaking of other cities, I have already lost it, little by little. Marco Polo bowed his head. Venice, the Khan said. Marco smiled. When I ask you about other cities, I want to hear about them, and about Venice when I ask you about Venice. Every time I describe a city, I am saying something about Venice. Memories' images, once they are fixed in words, are erased, Polo said. What else do you believe I've been talking to you about? Isaura, city of the thousand wells, is said to rise over a deep subterranean lake. On all sides, wherever the inhabitants dig long vertical holes in the ground, they succeed in drawing up water as far as the city extends and no farther. Its green border repeats the dark outline of the buried lake. An invisible landscape conditions the visible one. Everything that moves in the sunlight is driven by the lapping wave enclosed beneath the rock's calcareous sky. Consequently, two forms of religion exist in Isaura. The city's gods, according to some people, live in the depths, in the black lake that feeds the underground streams. According to others, the gods live in the buckets that rise, suspended from a cable, as they appear over the edge of the wells, in the revolving pulleys, in the windlasses of the Norians, in the pump handles, in the blades of the windmills that draw the water up from the drillings, in the trestles that support the twisting probes, in the reservoirs perched on stilts over the roofs, in the slender arches of the aqueducts, in all the columns of water, the vertical pipes, the plungers, the drains, all the way up to the weathercocks that surmount the airy scaffolding of Isaura, a city that moves entirely upward. Whether our miller is like this because it is unfinished or because it has been demolished, whether the cause is some enchantment or only a whim, I do not know. The fact remains that it has no walls, no ceilings, no floors. It has nothing that makes it seem a city, except the water pipes that rise vertically where the houses should be and spread out horizontally where the floors should be. A forest of pipes that end in taps, showers, spouts, overflows. Against the sky, a lavabo's white stands out, or a bathtub, or some other porcelain, like late fruit still hanging from the boughs. You would think that the plumbers had finished their job and gone away before the bricklayers arrived, or else their hydraulic systems, indestructible, had survived a catastrophe, or an earthquake, or the corrosion of termites. Abandoned before or after it was inhabited, our miller cannot be called deserted. At any hour, raising your eyes among the pipes, you are likely to glimpse a young woman, or many young women, slender, not tall of stature, luxuriating in the bathtubs or arching their backs under the showers suspended in the void, washing or drying or perfuming themselves, or combing their long hair at a mirror. In the sun, the threads of water fanning from the showers glisten, the jets of the taps, the spurts, the splashes, the sponges, suds,